9. And Chris, we missed you up here this morning. You bowing out or what? Have you been gone? Oh, I'm kidding. Well, we're glad to have the Mayfields with us this morning. The Lord called them to the mission field of the Dallas area. And we're thankful that God's using them there in a great way, but it was great to see them. We keep praying for their house not to sell, so they'll keep coming back. So I'm kidding. Yeah, that's the problem, yeah. Well, we're glad you're all here with us this morning. We have a great opportunity to look at God's Word together this morning. The title of our message this morning is The Indescribable, or God's Indescribable Gift. God's Indescribable Gift. And I'm going to read these 7 verses in chapter 9 of Isaiah. If you'd stand with me as I read those, and then we'll pray and ask God to help us understand what He's trying to say to us through His Word today. Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 7. But there will be no more gloom for her who has an anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea, on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor, as the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning, fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Let's pray. Oh Lord, what great hope we find in these words. What great hope your people, the people of Israel at this time, found in your words. And Lord, we pray you'd help us understand your word for us this morning. Not only understand it in our heads, but understand it and embrace it in our hearts. So Lord, as we leave here, as we walk through this week, it will impact our life and people will know that we have been with Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this Saturday, people all over the world will be celebrating Halloween. Just making sure you're paying attention here early on, all right? They'll be celebrating Christmas, right? Christmas. And part of that celebration of Christmas includes gift giving. And in fact, the early Christians from the beginning, our history shows when they began to celebrate Christmas, they exchanged gifts to remind them that God gave a gift. Now, most people get excited about receiving gifts. Now, let's all be honest here, right? Don't you get excited. I hate to say, we probably ought to be more excited about giving, but we're more excited about what we're going to get. Especially when we're younger, there's just an excitement about that, even when we're older, I guess. You know, some of us here probably when we're younger, and maybe even today, kind of searched around the house, you know, looking all the different places mom and dad might find them. My younger brother was the king at finding where my mom was hiding the Christmas presents. She would change every year, and he would always find the Christmas presents. Just uncanny. I know that Jan and I were talking about this. My great mother-in-law here this morning with us, she was telling me that John and her brother Bobby used to find and unwrap the gifts and then rewrap them. And she didn't know about that till they left the house, and that's why John doesn't get Christmas presents from her mom anymore. No, I'm kidding. But people do those kind of things, right? And we look around and so excited about the gift. And we're just trying to figure out. And some of us are shakers, right? You get around the tree and you pick the things up and you shake it, you know. And I remember that happening one time in our home, and it was shake it and broke it. Kind of thing. So my mom quit putting out the breakable things until like that next, till Christmas when we opened the gifts. But some people, you're shakers and smellers and, you know, look at the size of the box. And speaking about the size of the box, I can't think of anyone here doesn't get excited when you look and you begin to size them up and you notice the biggest box is for you. Come on, let's be honest, right? I mean, you're sizing them up. If you got the littlest box, you're like, oh, gosh, yeah. My brother got the big one, I got the little one, right? Let's be honest. Well, you know, looks can sometimes be deceiving, can't they? They can. Sometimes the biggest box isn't all what it's cracked up to be. I don't know if you've ever been given a big box for a present, and then as you open that big box, you're so excited to see what's in it, you find another box wrapped. Ever been there? And then you unwrap that one, and you get another box, and you look in there, and it's got another box in it. And on it goes until you get to this little small box. And by this time, I mean, all the excitement is just gone. You just, oh, another box. And you open that box, and there's yet another little tiny box in there. And when you open up that box, you discover this whole thing was the big box to little box technique. And it was a whole joke. It was really a joke when you find out there's a penny at the bottom. You know, I mean, that just takes all the life out of present giving and present receiving. You see, the more you discover that kind of gift, what happens? The more and more disappointed you are. Because your expectations were here. And they ended here. Now, thankfully, God's gifts are not like that, are they? And in fact, they're just the opposite. The more that you unwrap them, the more you discover, the more excited and fulfilled you become. God is a giver, and we learn, we study through James, in James 1:5, not only is he a giver, that he's a generous giver. He's not stingy. God is a generous giver. And it says also in James that his gifts are perfect. They're amazing. However, there's one gift that stands above the rest when it comes to perfect and amazing gifts. And that is the gift of Jesus Christ. What a gift. What an unbelievable gift. And there's not even enough words to describe the fact that God sent his son, Jesus, to die for people of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. There's not enough words to describe that. In fact, notice what Paul says about this gift of Jesus in 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. He's so overwhelmed by God's gift of his son that he says it's indescribable. And yet, Paul in his letters and other people try to describe it. He says it's indescribable, but he tries the best he can to describe it. There's nothing wrong with that. Yes, God's gift is indescribable when it comes to Jesus, and when it comes to being able to describe him completely. But it's not indescribable. In fact, we can't describe it in some degree, right? The Bible helps us understand, describe God's gift of Jesus to some degree. But when it comes to completely describing, we can't. He is indescribable in that way. And the more we look at God's indescribable gift, the more amazed and overwhelmed and fulfilled we become. It heightens our anticipation instead of dashing our hopes like the big box to little box technique that we just mentioned a few minutes ago. In fact, I want us to imagine as we work down through this passage of Scripture this morning, the exact opposite of the big box to little box technique. I want us to think of God's indescribable gift of Jesus as being the little box to the big box type of present. Think about that. Not big box to little box, but little box. Big box. That's the kind of gift we'd like to get, right? And that's the kind of gift that God gave us in Jesus. And before we look at our passage here in Isaiah this morning, I just want to bring us up to speed with who he's writing to so we can understand what they might be thinking, so we can understand what it is God wants us to learn this morning. First of all, if you read through the first part of Isaiah, you'll find out the nation of Israel is in bad shape, really bad shape. They're caught up in materialism and superstition. There's a leadership crisis. They're caught up in sensual interests. They're on the heels of war and headed for more war. They're in despair and darkness. In fact, this is one of the darkest times spiritually for the nation of Israel when Isaiah is writing to these people. They need hope. They need deliverance. They need something or someone that would lift them out of the despair that they're in. And that's exactly what God does through Isaiah. He gives them hope. Hope to lift them out of the darkness that they're in. Now, a few minutes ago, we just sang that song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and you probably wondered why that phrase was underlined and bolded, all right? When Greg was in the cahoots with me there. I requested that song for that line, which said, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." It was God's indescribable gift where all their hopes and their fears would be met. All of us, probably in some way, that are here this morning, had hopes and fears over this past year. We probably had hopes and fears over this past month or this past week, and maybe here this morning, you have some hopes, and maybe you have some fears. Well, I want to assure you this morning that in God's indescribable gift, your hopes can come true. Your hopes for His forgiveness, your hopes for His power, your hopes for His presence, your hopes for deliverance will be met in His gift of Jesus. Not just, it says, in thee tonight, but every day your hopes will be met. And God's indescribable gift of Jesus is also where all fears will be calmed and replaced with His peace. So not only were their hopes and dreams of all the years met in Christ that wonderful night when He came to earth, but all of our hopes and fears that we bring are met in that Christ child who came to live and die and rise again, that our hopes might come true and our fears might be calmed. Well, that's good news. And that's what this passage is all about this morning. So let's look. We're just going to look. We're not going to look at verses 1 through 5. We don't have the time to do that. That's like a 3-sermon series. We're just going to look really at verses 6 and 7. I'll refer to the verses just as we look, make sure we get them in context. But we're going to discover 7 characteristics to describe God's indescribable gift. Doesn't it sound funny? We're going to describe God's indescribable gift, all right? Well, you got to try because the Scripture does, okay? So that we would cherish and treasure His gift above all. And let's begin looking here into this first small box. Remember, we're going to picture this. We got this small box. This gift is given to us. And it's in this little, tiny box. And in that little box, we're going to discover the first characteristic that describes God's indescribable gift. He is a gift. Now look at verse 6 with me. Look at that second phrase there. A son will be given. Notice it says, He is given. God's gift is just that. It's a gift. Now, isn't that redundant to say that? That God's gift is a gift? Well, it's meant to be redundant. It needs to be redundant. See, the recipients of Israel's prophecy here, or Isaiah's prophecy, the nation of Israel, had consistently rejected God's way of grace through faith, and they tried to do things their way. Many of them out and out rebelled against God. Many of them tried to earn God's favor through keeping of the law, through an institution of religion, through good works. They needed to be reminded that God's gift was exactly that, a gift. It could not be earned. It could not be deserved. It was a gift. God's way has always been by grace. And the word grace is it means gift. That's what the word grace means. It means gift. It means something that has been given, not earned or deserved. And this should have brought great humility to these people as they considered the fact that God was going to give them a deliverer in spite of their sin. They couldn't earn it. They couldn't deserve it. And He was going to give them the deliverer who would meet all their hopes and fears for all the years. And we too need to be reminded that God's indescribable gift is just that. It's a gift. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn God's gift. He just gave it. Now, it always puzzles me when you hear, it could be on the radio, it could be on the TV, you get something in the mail, and from organizations that will say, if you give a gift of a certain amount of dollars, all right, if you give a donation, you'll receive this gift. And I've always wanted to call one of those radio stations that's been has this offer. You send X amount of dollars, we'll give you this gift. I've always wanted to call and say, hey, I'm calling about the gift. Would you please send me my gift? Now, what do you think they would say? Well, when you give your certain X amount of dollar donation, we'll send you the gift. And I probably shouldn't call, so because this is what I'd say. Gift, that's not a gift. If it's a gift, you said it was a gift on the radio, I'm calling for my gift. Well, when you send, that's not a gift, is it? See, we misunderstand gifts sometimes. We even use the word where it shouldn't be used. You don't buy a gift. You don't earn a gift. It's just given. And see, it's not like that with God. His indescribable gift is just that. It is a gift. He doesn't say, send in X amount of good works. Send in your religious ceremonies. Send in X, Y, Z. He says, it's a gift. It's given. And Jesus reminded us the very thing in probably the most famous verse in all of Scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. What does it say? Notice those words. He gave. He gave. God gave. When you think about giving this Christmas, marvel at the amazing truth that God gave. His indescribable gift is just that. It's a gift. And yes, that's redundant, but I need to hear it. Well, just think. That was just the first little box. All right, that's just the first little box in our gift, the indescribable gift, the first one. So let's open up another one. And in this next box that we open up, which is a little bigger, remember going from small, it's a little bit bigger. Now physically, this is impossible, right, to have a bigger box and a smaller box, but we're talking about God. He's not limited by physics, is he? So his box gets bigger. And we open this next box, and we discover the second characteristic that helps us describe the indescribable gift. He is a child. Look again at verse 6. Notice the phrase, for a child will be born to us. First notice that word for, or because, it points to the deliverer who would conquer their enemies and finally forever in verses 1 through 5. That's the hope that he's giving. He's pointing back. For, all right. Now notice what it says of this my deliverer, all right. This is the my deliverer who's going to do what we just said. He will be a child. Literally, a baby boy. Not a mighty army of angels, but a baby boy. He will be the deliverer. In fact, the grammar here points back to something Isaiah's already taught. A very familiar verse in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The fact that the mighty deliverer would be a baby boy born of a virgin points us to this illustration of Midian from verse 4. Look back at verse 4 with me. All right? Look at verse 4. It says, for you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. What in the world does that mean? Well, it's speaking of the defeat of the Midianites in Judges 6 and 7 is what it's talking about. And I preached about this a couple months ago when we were talking about our amazing God and the omnipotence of God. And this, just to remind us, this is a time, Judges, or this is a time that Israel would rebel against God, and God would bring another nation against Israel to bring discipline on them. And then they would repent, and guess what happened? Same cycle starts over again. Then they would rebel, God would send someone to discipline, he would raise up a judge to deliver them from that, and just went on. That's the whole cycle of Judges. Well, in Judges chapter 6, God sent the Midianites to bring about discipline in the nation of Israel because they had rebelled again. And so they rebel. He sends the Midianites, and then he raises up this judge named Gideon to deliver them. All right? So if you remember the story, if you don't know about the story, here's the situation. God says, okay, the Midian army has 135,000 people in it, trained soldiers. These are like the Navy SEALs. These are special op guys. So God says, oh, no problem. I can handle that. So Gideon, I'm going to give you 32,000 just men. All right, just regular old men. And guess what? 22,000 was too scared to go against the Midianites. So he's left with what? 10,000. And then God takes away 9,700 more. and leaves him with 300 guys to go up against these Navy SEALs, 135,000 Midianites. And they're not trained, and in fact, they go to war with, what I told you, it would be like a kazoo. They go with the trumpet. They go with these pitchers, which would be like a flower pot, and they go with a flashlight or a torch. That's what they're going to go to war. Again, if you're MacGyver, you're probably okay. All right, some of you older, you understand, all right? But they weren't MacGyver, all right? And they've got, that's all they've got, to go up against 135,000 Midianites. And guess what happens? The Lord, with those 300 ragtag guys, runs off and conquers 135,000 Midianites. Wow. That can only be explained by God. There's no other way to explain 300 whipping 135,000. There's no way. And that's exactly the point that Isaiah is bringing up in verse 6 when he points back to this child who is born of us. All right, he's just like the Midianites. He's this little baby boy, and he's going to be the deliverer. And the fact that it'll be this little baby boy who's going to be the deliverer can only be explained by God. That's what he's saying. I'm going to do something in a way that no one gets the credit but me. That's what God says. I'm going to get the credit in this. So I'm going to send this little baby boy, and he'll be your deliverer. God's indescribable gift. And if you've received God's indescribable gift, his son, he will do things in and through you that can only be explained by him. Are you willing to trust him in the midst of your struggles, in your pain, in your victory? If you are, look out. Look out. God will do things in and through your life that can only be explained by him. And people will go, wow, only God could have done that. And that's what he wants to do. See, it was just a little baby boy. But God saved the world to a little baby boy. Well, we've now opened two of the boxes in discovering God's indescribable gift. And the more boxes we open, here's my promise, it's going to get better and better. They're going to get bigger and bigger in a sense, not in size or in more importance. It just keeps expanding how great this gift is from God. So let's look here at our next box and it's the third characteristic of God's indescribable gift. He is the wonderful counselor. And we see this in verse 6 when it says, look what it says, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. Now, what's that mean? Well, we need to understand what the word wonder would have meant to the original recipients, right? Not what we think wonder means, but what does it say? What would they have heard when they heard this word, this Hebrew word, wonder, all right? Consider this verse here in Psalm 78:11. They forgot his deeds and his miracles, same word, wonders that he had shown them. All right, and this is speaking about God. All right, it was a word used to describe things only God could do. That's the word wonder, or it's translation miracles in some translations. Now consider how the word counsel says wonderful counselor. The word counselor is used to describe something or someone. In Isaiah, there's numerous times that it does this, but I'm just going to show you one other one in Isaiah 28:29, or actually two other ones. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who has made his counsel wonderful and his wisdom great. It's talking about God. This is something that God can do. Isaiah will also use these words again after our passage in Isaiah 9 concerning this promised deliverer, the Messiah. This is talking about Jesus in Isaiah 11:2. It says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel, there's our word, and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Therefore, the words wonderful counselor are in reference to the fact that God's indescribable gift, his deliverer, his son, will not only be a gift, will not only be a child, but he will be God. He will be God. Because what is ascribed to the Father is ascribed to the Son. This child will be God himself in human form. It's a reference to the deity of Christ. And the fact that God's indescribable gift is God means that he is the source of all wisdom and knowledge, which makes him who? The Wonderful Counselor. And this very thing is said of Christ in Colossians 2:2-3. It says, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Since God's indescribable gift is a Wonderful Counselor, here's good news. We have no reason to seek for wisdom and counsel outside of him. He contains all wisdom and knowledge, doesn't he? All. Now, yes, the Bible encourages, God encourages to seek the counsel of others. And throughout the Proverbs, we see this. One of those, it says, and in abundance of counselors, there is victory. It's a good thing to seek out a lot of counselors when we're making big decisions. That's a good thing. Yet this does not mean we just go to any counselors. We want to go to counselors who are going to point us to who? The Wonderful Counselor and his word. That's the kind of counselors we want to go to. If you've got a big decision to make, you're struggling with something, yeah, go to counselors. Go to people who will point you to Jesus, who will point you to God's Wonderful Counselor. God's indescribable gift is the Wonderful Counselor. Let's cling to him. And if you need someone who can point you to the counsel of the Wonderful Counselor, we've got a bunch of people right here at Grace who love to help you. Love to help you point you to the Wonderful Counselor, in whom are hidden all of wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Isn't that good news? That this gift is the Wonderful Counselor. We don't have to go outside this gift to find all we need for life and godliness. Well, three boxes opened, four more boxes to go. Are you excited? This is a great gift, isn't it? All right, we're just going to keep opening. Again, one more. All right, let's look into the next one, all right? And this, we find the fourth characteristic of God's indescribable gift, which is found in verse 6 also. He is the mighty God. It says, mighty God. Now, what's this referring to? Again, understanding Isaiah helps us understand what he's speaking of. Look at Isaiah 1:24. Therefore, the God of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, speaking of who? The Lord of hosts, Lord God of hosts, declares, I will be relieved of my adversaries and avenge myself on my foes. And then Isaiah 10:21, a remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. Speaking of God. The words mighty God once again are a reference to the fact that God's indescribable gift, this baby boy deliverer who would be Jesus, will be God, and he will therefore have the power to deliver. He's the mighty God. He will have, it's not, he's a baby boy. He's just a little baby boy. No, he's God. And he's mighty and all-powerful and has the power to do what he was sent to do. This is so important. If Jesus is not God, then he does not have the power to forgive sin. He doesn't. If he is not God, he cannot forgive sin. And to show that he was God and that he had the power to forgive sin, Jesus says that he forgives it. He comes as paralytic. And he can't walk. And Jesus, first thing, comes up to him and he says, your sins are forgiven. And some of the Jewish leaders of the time gather around and say, hold on here. They don't like that. And look what they say. It says in Mark 2:7, why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And it's not asking the question. They're making a statement. Only God can forgive sins. This is blasphemy for him to try to forgive this guy's sin. So what's Jesus do? He heals the man, which proved that he was mighty God because he had the power over the penalty and some of the presence of sin. All right? And therefore, since he healed him and was the mighty God, he also had the power to forgive sin. He's just showing, yeah, that's me, I'm right. I can forgive sin. Why? Because I'm God. I have power over all things. I'm the mighty God. Aren't you glad that God's indescribable gift, Jesus, is the mighty God who can forgive sin? I want to be the first in line to thank him for being the mighty God who forgives sin. You know why? Because my sin is so great. My sin is so mighty. But he is the mighty God who is mighty to save. Isn't that good news? What a gift. What a gift. He is the mighty God. Now, the boxes are getting bigger, and they're getting better. I mean, I could just stop right there, couldn't you? I mean, that's enough. I'm already overwhelmed, but God doesn't stop. Let's look at the next box and discover the fifth characteristic of God's indescribable gift, which is also found in verse 6. Listen to what else. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father. Wow. What does this mean? Well, this is speaking of a ruler who has a paternal or a fatherly love for his people or children. That's what it's talking about. And Jesus speaks of this kind of love that he has for the people when he laments over Jerusalem, who had rejected him as the mighty God and the wonderful counselor and the eternal father and the prince of peace. They had rejected him. Now look what he says. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, this is Matthew 23:37, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wing. And you are unwilling. See the tenderness here? He wants to come alongside and just like a daddy would to a little one who's hurt, who's scared. You see this fatherly love, this paternal love? But not only does the eternal father speak of this paternal love, or this fatherly love, with that word father, but notice what else it says. He's what? Eternal father. His love for his children is eternal. And therefore, we can confidently say with Paul in Romans 8 that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? He's eternal Father. He's eternal loving Father. Not temporal. It never changes. What a great encouragement to these original recipients. They didn't have loving rulers, did they? They had harsh rulers. Sinful rulers. And when they were conquered, they had harsh rulers and sinful rulers. And what an encouragement to us this morning this should be. The fact that God's indescribable gift is the eternal Father whose love is precious. His love is protective. His love is powerful. His love is persevering. And that, just knowing that kind of love, should carry us through the darkest of times. It will carry us through the darkest of times. When we are loved, I love that song, by the King, it makes my heart want to sing. Isn't it good to know he loves us like that? The eternal Father. Well, nothing can take that away. Well, let's now look at the next box, which will continue to amaze us. Now we're getting closer to the last big box, at least in our attempt to describe the indescribable gift of God, all right? And here we discover the sixth characteristic of God's indescribable gift. And it's also found in verse 6. He is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Israel had not known much peace in their history, had they? You study the scripture, man, it was just up and down. And mostly it was not peace. Turmoil. Heartache. Yet here, there's a promise that God's indescribable gift will bring peace. In the context speaks of a peace that will be ongoing, not temporal. They had known temporal peace before, but not this time. Yes, the Messiah will one day bring physical peace. No matter what you believe about the end times, there will be a time that there's physical peace in a sense. All right? Whether it's in the millennial kingdom or a thousand-year reign here, or if it's just the new heavens and the new earth, there will be physical peace. We will live in that way. But, you know, these people, they needed a whole lot more than physical peace. These are the same people who have been rebelling against God, and they knew it. They needed spiritual peace. They needed peace with God. Here was their hope, the hope of all the years. God's gift would be the Prince of Peace. He would bring peace with God. And when he came, when Jesus came the very first time, that's what he did. Look what it was said even right before he came by the angels. In Luke 2:14, glory to God in highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. Here comes peace. That's what they said. Here it is. You've been waiting for this. And peace is coming, and it's here tonight. God's peace, the Prince of Peace. He eventually brought this peace through the death, burial, and resurrection And he turned away God's wrath, just wrath, from his people. And he turned it on himself. And it brought peace. Peace like they'd never known before. Romans 5:10 teaches that before Christ, we were enemies of God. But the coming of Christ, God's indescribable gift, changed all of that for those who will trust in his gift. Look what it says in Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by God, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He took enemies and brought peace through Jesus, the Prince of Peace. That's great news. That's the best news. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's indescribable gift, we go from people who have no peace to having all the peace we'll ever need. Well, we've seen as we've unwrapped this gift, this indescribable gift of God, that it's a gift to be a child. He is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. Let's now open the last box. Here we go. The last box. At least this morning. All right? There's many more boxes when it comes to God. All right, but this morning. And in that one, we'll find that he's also the King. Look at verse 7. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. No end to peace. That's good news. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. Not only will he have the power to accomplish his plan as deliverer, his position as deliverer, as the mighty God. Remember that? He was the mighty God. He would have the power, but he would also have the position because he's the king. He's the one who reigns and rules over all. That's who this child would be. The deliverer, the gift would be the king. Listen to the words the angel spoke to Mary about this little king that she would bear. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. You see, he came once to offer his kingdom, but it was rejected, and he was crucified. And he's going to come again, but this time it won't be to offer his kingdom, it will be to bring his kingdom in its fullness. Yes, we have the kingdom here, Christ in us, but it will be in its fullness. God's indescribable gift is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he shall reign forever and ever. So who's part of his kingdom? Who is a part of the King's kingdom? We'll look back at verse 6 where it says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. Who is the us? In verse 6, it's important we understand this. Well, is it to everyone? Is it to everyone? No. Well, listen, this is speaking, first of all, the context is speaking of the faithful remnant of the Israelites, the faithful remnant of the Israelites who trusted in the king who would come. All right? In the same way, only those who repent and trust in God's indescribable gift of Jesus will be part of his eternal kingdom. Everyone's not a part of the eternal kingdom. Only those who repent and trust and receive this gift that God gives, that makes them part of the kingdom. Well, how can we be sure that all this will eventually happen? Because some of it's already happened, and some of it will happen in its completeness. How can we be assured of that? Well, look at the rest of verse 7. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. The Lord himself guarantees it. And God doesn't lie. And God's not limited by anything or anyone or any event. He will bring it to pass. All of this. And he has brought a lot of it already to pass, right? But he will bring his final plan, this whole plan, he'll bring it to its final end. He promises his zeal will accomplish this. Well, didn't I tell you that the more we looked at God's indescribable gift, the more exciting, the more amazing, the more fulfilling it would be? Well, at least it's been that way for me this morning and this week as I've looked at this passage. Well, here's a question. Have you received God's indescribable gift? Have you received it this morning? If not, I encourage you to receive it today. And you do have to do something to receive it, right? If I'm going to give this gift right here to Jake, he has to do something, doesn't he? He's not working for it. I'm not making him go like this, all right? I'm not, come on and get it. Well, give me $5. I'm just here. What do you got to do, Jake? Just receive it. See there? And the scripture says we receive it by this. First of all, the illustration would be better if he's turned around that way. And he's going another way. And I'm offering a gift. The first thing Jake has to do is turn around to receive the gift, doesn't he? And the scripture calls that repentance. Not to trust in ourself anymore, but to turn from trusting in ourself and the deceitfulness of sin, and then embrace and trust in what the gift is. And what a gift. It's indescribable. It's uncontainable, we sing. This is the kind of gift it is. And you receive that, he forgives you completely and makes you a child of the King. If you've never received him, I pray you do that. It's the greatest gift you'll ever receive. Ever. Now, if you receive God's indescribable gift, consider how awesome and truly amazing it is. It should make your heart want to sing. Maybe you're not a singer, all right? Something inside of us, wow, this is truly incredible. It truly is indescribable. How can we respond to the fact that God has given this indescribable gift to us? Well, one way is to answer this question. This is a question you'll get over the next few weeks, probably after Saturday. What's your favorite gift? What's your favorite gift? You ever had that question? Here's our answer. God's indescribable gift. And see what that does with an opportunity to share with them who this indescribable gift is. It's Jesus. That's the answer. Well, we can also praise him with words, right? We can praise him. And we're going to do that. We're going to sing the song, the words of Jesus Messiah. Here's a way we can respond to this unbelievable, indescribable gift. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Let's stand as the music team comes and leads us in a great way to respond to the truth of God's indescribable gift.